Fred Film Radio.
International Film Festivals and Awards Macau. Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Nakuchi from the 2019 International Film Festival and Awards Macau. And I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Juan Cabral. Well, first of all, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, hello.
So, you're presenting the film 2-1 at this festival. And for the benefit of the listeners who are not familiar with the film, would you maybe say a few words to introduce it so that we can start talking about it in more detail?
Yeah, 2-1 is a story that happens in two places. In Vancouver, in Canada, there's a ski jumper who has his life, and when he falls asleep, someone else on the other side of the world wakes up in Shanghai. Another person that doesn't look like the other person, but he wakes up and he has his life, and he's an executive who lives in Shanghai. And when he goes to sleep, again, we go back to Canada and the other guy wakes up. So this keeps happening, you know, when one goes to sleep, the other one wakes up, and it starts to become obvious as the film progresses that these two people might be connected, that one might be the dream and the other one might be the dreamer, you know, and who is who and what is life about. And eventually these two people meet, and I'm not going to spoil the film, but it's about that, like the complementary kind of echoing, you know, there's this kind of punctuation of the film that keeps growing into a boiling point.
It's also, I guess, a film about loneliness and connections.
Yes, you know, like Caden is a ski jumper and he lives in the woods and his life is kind of very, pretty crude and brutal, you know, but and he's seeking for something, you know, he's in a very lonely place. On the other side of the world, you know, Kai, this executive, he lives in one of the most populated cities in the planet, but he still also feels lonely and incomplete. And I think that's, you know, like beyond the film itself, you know, it is a bit of like a wall of ice at the beginning when you watch the film. It's like, but slowly it gets melting and you get to know these characters and that melts too. And I think that there's a conversation. It's a little bit like a book. You know, you have to finish what the premise of the film is. You know, like it's not like that's my point of view of life. It's, you know, I don't have like a, this is the answer of life, but it begins that conversation. And hopefully like a, I don't know, the good books that I've read in my life, sometimes I forget about the plot or the actors or what happened, but the conversation remains. And this film is a little bit like that.
I was thinking about the fact that there's basically the two storylines of the film might have been difficult to balance, to maintain on the same sort of quality, might be, not be the right word, but you know, you want to keep that same level of interest going. Did you find it challenging to maintain that balance between the two characters and their stories?
Well, it was a first feature, so it's not like you don't know what you're doing because you have a pretty good idea of what you want, but you're also kind of gazing, you know, if this is going to be boring enough, you know, because I really wanted to kind of talk about the things that happen to us that are so little and so hard to get hold of. And there is a lot of that, as you were saying, like loneliness and all of that. But I was balancing, you know, with like more kind of, there's, you know, like the way that Caden has a romantic relationship and he has sex in a car and it's kind of pretty brutal, and the other side of the world is kind of completely different approach to that moment of connection. But it just shows all the grace that exists in the world, you know, and the film has a lot of that. And I try to balance all of that, like big scenes or sequences with the smallest ones. And hopefully there's always like an echo, you know, like one might listen to a song, you know, one of the guys is a drummer and he has a moment, but on, you know, the next day there's an echo of that track. You know, sometimes we wake up, I don't know, I wake up listening to a track that I don't know where it came from.
Yeah, and in your head or?
In my head, I don't know. And I think that happens to other people too. And the film captures some of those little nuances of life that are like indescribable and impossible to understand, you know, how ideas and scenes and feelings bounce around the world every day.
Yes. Well, I mean, in the film there's also this theme of dreams. Do you dream a lot?
Well, we all do. Sometimes I don't know where I go to, you know, when you go into that kind of limbo. Sometimes I wake up with very deep, vivid dreams that don't make any sense, you know. And I think that the film kind of tries to shed some light into that mystery of life of, like, where do we go, you know? Why do we need to shut down ourselves every day, you know? And why are we sometimes feel this full desire to connect with people, and sometimes we need to kind of refrain ourselves and be on our own, and this search of happiness, of balancing, of completion, and you know, sometimes we need to be ourselves, sometimes we need to be connected, and it's almost like we're like a broken breed of human beings, you know, like as a race, you know, and we're always searching for that, and I think the film has a little bit of that, you know, that struggle.
I mean, do you think that perhaps dreams also influence your filmmaking in a way?
probably, you know, like the biggest question of the film is like, you know, I don't know, it's more of a Shakespearean thought, you know, like is life a dream maybe, or what is life, you know, like what is the fabrics of of what, but yeah, probably, you know, like sometimes, and I think one of the characters has these moments, like he's having this life that everything is supposed to be making sense, but he's like, for a moment he sees something out of place or a little something that makes him wonder whether what his, if his life is a dream, you know. And I think that happens all to all of us, you know, like I'm not talking like panic attack kind of crazy stuff, but we all have moments of like, wow, what is this, you know, why, you know, we're in this weird planet and there's comes with no manual, and the film is trying to bridge that gap of no manual and the routine of the everyday that we just get used to it, you know.
Do you think that this film, despite the fact that it takes in two different parts of the world, do you see it as a very universal film?
Well, you know, I'm from Argentina and I shot a film that happens half in Canada and the other half in, you know, half in Shanghai, and spoken in, you know, in a language that I don't fully understand, you know. But even with the actor, with Song Yang, you know, we obviously we had a translator there, but there was a moment that after repeating scenes, you know, there was all this kind of physical connection with eyes and body language, and underneath all of that, we're, you know, we're skin and bones and souls, and we're human beings, and we go through the same stuff and the same questions. So it is a global film. It's beyond the culture. It could have happened somewhere else, you know. And at the end of the film, it really shows like everyone in the world going to sleep and waking up, and it's like we're a binary kind of giant puzzle of life.
That's a good way to put it. Are you interested in philosophy and all this deep thinking?
It sounds like it now that I'm talking to you. but yes, I think I am. You know, like the film is unashamedly trying to tap into those things and talking about the stuff that sometimes we try to avoid, you know, like, and, you know, you might have some conversations in a pub or some friends, a little bit about that, but it's overbearing, you know, you cannot be talking about that all the time. Then there's a moment that you have to default into, you know, like, easy stuff to go through the day.
I think also this film is not, like, of the heavy experimental kind. It's actually very enjoyable. I was gripped from beginning to end, so we should specify that.
Okay. No, completely. You know, like, as I say, like, there are stories, and hopefully, you know, there's a drama, and there is a boiling moment of like, oh, are they going to meet and what is going to happen, and there's, you know, a romantic side of the film as well, and I try to make it like enjoyable and but the deep, you know, for me the film is beyond that, you know, and that's what I was trying to when I was talking about the book, but I'm glad you enjoyed it, you know. It's not like, yeah, German black and white, you know, 1920s, you know, like,
but that's good too.
Yeah, no, well, it's different. It's a different moment in time, but yeah, it is trying to connect in a global scale, even though it's still very independent film, you know. It hasn't got not just the budget or the most famous names in the world, but it is totally, you know, I really, you know, it might not be the perfect film, but it's watchable, you know. It's like you get something out of it, and that was really like my quest, like, you know, it's my first film, I don't want to try to put so much into it, even though I was pretty ambitious, but still I want to leave people with something, you know. I kind of left my ego apart, and I didn't want to, you know, I could have done some, you know, shortcuts or easy turns or, you know, do some things, but try to find the balance of looking for some truth, but also giving you, you know, some enjoyment for the ride. You know, like the ski scenes are spectacular. There's some drama. There's some fireworks. There's a lot of, you know, all the landscapes and the mood. This kind of misty, you know, from Vancouver, from the slopes of Whistler to the misty Shanghai. You know, there is a lot of poetry, visual poetry.
So before the interview, you said that this is actually not the first interview that Fred Film Radio does for the film. So actually that gives me an opportunity to ask you what it's been like to travel with it a bit since its premiere. Where did this film premiere when?
This happened in Tribeca just a few months ago, and he's starting to do the shows. I think it's also on the in India in the Kerala Film Festival, and now here, and he's going on to others. And he's releasing early next year in, you know, I don't know, whatever you are, but you find it or, you know, whatever you can do. I don't mind.
What's life after the film been like now that it's done?
Well, it's, I don't know. There wasn't anything kind of magical, but I'm already kind of writing the next script. You know, right. Like all my energy is there now. And obviously there is a little bit of like getting the release out and pushing, you know, because it's not, you know, a Marvel film, but it's going to go and reach cinemas. And obviously it is a struggle, and I don't have anything against that. That's just the reality. I put a little bit of energy there, but mainly on the next one.
Some directors say that once they're finished with the project, they're finished with it, really. Do you feel the same way?
A little bit. I'll see how it goes for me. I mean, I still have, you know, a couple of, you know, like the official release, you know, so I'm like almost slowly getting the baby out and it's beginning to walk now. And but yeah, probably in 6 months, a year would be like a done thing, and I'll probably watch it again, I don't know, in a few years' time. And that would be beautiful because I'll get to find, like, to meet again with my film, the one that started years ago, you know. Mm.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. It was a great pleasure talking with you. I wish you all the best.
Thanks so much. Okay.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.